John has said it. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I think it behooves every one of us to ask, I guess, what becomes the most personal of all questions. Do I have faith? Do I believe? Oh, and this faith, when we're talking about it, it just goes in so many different directions and includes so many things. Maybe we can almost say one thing is built upon the other. Do I have faith? Well, what am I talking about? Do I believe in God? Do I believe there is one supreme creator who made the heavens and the earth? You say, oh, Brother Tope, listen, this is such an old subject. Doesn't everyone believe? The answer is no, no. And there are some of us maybe, I hope not, but some of us who at one time did believe. You know, it's so common to hear people say, oh, for a childlike faith. And by that, we might reply, well, there was a time. There was a time in my innocence when I was just a little fellow, a little girl, when I believed, and you know, my mama and daddy taught me to bow down before my bedside and maybe to fold my hands as we see the pictures and to pray to God. Well, do I have, and if you want to call it, it's properly so, do I have that childlike faith still? Do I still have that implicit foundation that causes me to say, I believe in God, the eternal God, the almighty God, the all-powerful God, the all-loving God? And then, as I've already indicated, do I believe the Bible? Do I believe the Bible is the Word of God and not the Word of man? Do I have any real trust and confidence that the Bible is able to lead me and to guide me all the years of my life and through every affair of life? Do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do I believe that he was not just a good man while he was here on earth, but that God, the Heavenly Father, had a divine purpose in mind? Well, you see, we could go on in this kind of introduction and thought, but what we are going to affirm in the very beginning is what our brother read from Hebrews 11, and that is that faith is essential to all things. Faith is essential to your well-being here on earth. Faith is certainly essential to any relationship that you're going to have with God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You just can't please God without faith. He that comes to God must believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That causes us to say, again, there can be that kind of unfair, undisciplined, undeserving type of faith where an individual will say, oh, yes, I believe in God. He's brought all of the trouble in the world upon me. But notice that second part, if you will, of our scripture. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The God of creation, the God of the Bible, is a good God. Oh, he's better than anyone you've ever known. Well, consider faith then. Just for the few moments that are ours. How do you get faith? How do you do that? Magic? We've talked about this before. Some kind of miracle having to happen, some special event where you're delivered from the jaws of death or whatever it may be. How does a person get faith? Well, let's say something about the nature of God, and we know this because it's something that is revealed to us. God has revealed himself to mankind. Let me suggest to you, it would be unfair if it were otherwise. Earthly fathers, we know of some very, very sad cases where there have been men and they have fathered children, and you ask those children, do you know anything about your daddy? And they say, I don't know a single thing about him. He never, ever made himself known to me. Well, you're sure not going to talk about a person like that as a loving father, a caring father, someone who thinks about you and who is willing to provide for you. No, no. But God wants us to know about him. I think you have to understand that. God wants us to know about him. And consequently, he has revealed himself to us. And again, just in the negative, he doesn't do that by whispering in your ear, as some people suppose. You don't go to bed at night and pray a prayer and say, God, reveal yourself to me while I'm sleeping. That's not the way it works at all. But, there are numbers of ways in which God reveals himself to us. I want us, you bear with me. I want us to go back to the Old Testament, to the 19th Psalm. And I want to talk with you for just a few minutes about the two great ways in which God has revealed himself to man. Revealed himself, I'm going to try to emphasize this just as much as I can. Revealed himself to mankind in such a way that every reasoning person, every fair and honest person will have to say, well, that evidence is strong enough for me to say, I too have faith. All right. Let's get an example, a sample of this as I look at Psalm 19. Maybe you have memorized this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveal knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. How has God revealed himself to every single person? The African, the people in Southwest Africa, Namibia, up in Zululand, the Congo, Nigeria, Asia, China, Japan, the Aleutian Islands and its inhabitants, the Canadians, the dwellers in the United States, those down in Chile, Argentina, and if there's anybody in the Antarctic. God has revealed himself to every one of us. I don't want to be unkind, but I have to say you have to be blind in order to not see this evidence. What did God do to give you faith? To give you faith, he created the world. You can go ahead and read here in Psalm 19. I hope you do. But created the sun. It makes its journey. It's just like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. And it as a strong man running a race, well, it goes right across the sky. Unless it's an unusually cloudy day, you see that every day. Every day. The sun. And then the other heavenly bodies. We know more, I think, since the days of the astronauts. You know, I'm going to be talking about the astronauts tonight, and I'm even going to be talking about a movie, but it may not be what you think. But what I am saying is this, that the precision... How do they know at the Cape when to go ahead and to send up that spacecraft? How do they know how it is going to join up with that manned station? How did they ever Boy, those fellows were clever, but you know every bit of the knowledge. Oh, the knowledge now that first went into the making of a watch or a clock. Every bit of that is patterned upon the Earth's movements. I'll tell you, it's beyond my mathematical capability to actually be able to comprehend that minute, exact precision in which all of the heavenly bodies move. Have any of you made a flower recently? You can't do it, can you? Well, you say those artificial flowers, they're pretty good. You don't have to water them. I understand they've even given a smell to some of them. But you know those things aren't alive. Those are the creations of men. We can do that. If you're a clever artist, there's all kinds of copies of things in the universe. You can imitate. I don't have the power to create life. You mamas, how about that little baby when it's born? Have you considered the wonders of the human body? What does creation teach you? If you can learn anything at all, there is a wise all intelligent architect for the universe. I've said this before. You've really only got two choices. That's all you got. There is God or there is no God. I've tried to be as fair as I know how to be in examining the other side. There is no God. Okay. You know our television, it is just inundated with the thoughts there is no God. I've got several channels at home. I got to tell you, I don't watch them very often, but I've got several channels on my TV at home that talks about the secrets of the universe, how the world came into being. I may not be up on the latest theory. I just want to talk to you about one particular theory that became very popular, at least in my lifetime. They gave it a name. They called it the Big Bang Theory. And boy, it's about the biggest bang that you've ever heard of. Because what it involved, now, just putting it in layman term, what it involved is here were two of these heavenly bodies, and they smacked together. All right, now what happened? Well, hey, a lot of fragments fell down. Plunk, the United States of America. I'm in big trouble. I'll tell you, I'm in bigger trouble than whenever I say there was that wonderful, clever architect God. And he made all of these things. He made the Grand Canyon. He made the Amazon. He made all of those things. I will tell you just flat out, evolution will not work. Not the answer. It never has been the answer. It is not a science. If it is anything at all, it is a religion. It is a religion that is in opposition to faith in God. It just won't work. The Big Bang Theory won't work. Nothing works about it. The heavens, now you look at Psalm 19 again. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork every day. You are not excused whenever you say God has not revealed himself to me. All right, very quickly, maybe I use more time than I should, but very quickly, there is a second grand evidence of God to be found here in Psalm 19. Come to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Read it right on through verse 11. What is the second evidence of God? Right here. Here it is. The Bible. Hey, if you have faith, that is received from two grand sources. You have faith from the things that God has created. you have faith that you have received from the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, and I'll use it again before we're finished. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay. What is the Bible? It's not the production of man. There's no man capable today or any age past that could have written the Bible. And boy, if you put 40 men together, I'll tell you, you're going to have some kind of book, but it will not rival the Bible. The Word of God is better than gold. It will convert you. It will make you wise. It will purify you. It is true and righteous altogether. What is the Bible? It's one of a kind. No reproduction is possible. No other book can compare. Whenever you read it, again, with an honest, seeking heart, you will come away with faith in God. I've got a second part to the lesson. That faith, I'm hoping right now, I'm hoping that every one of you say, now, Gene, what has been said so far, that's sufficient. That convinces me I should believe in God. That faith won't do you a bit of good unless you put it to work. Unless you put it to work. Well, if Jim had gone ahead and read a little bit further there in Hebrews 11, we would already have this second part of the lesson presented. Faith has to work. Faith can't just sit there by itself. It has to do something. How do we know? Hebrews chapter 11, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, all of these wonderful, wonderful Hebrews, heroes that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, they're there because they're fellows that put their faith to work. Faith can't just sit there. Faith can't just make proclamation with its mouth. It has to act. Faith without works is dead. Have you ever heard that? Well, if so, it's because that's what the Bible says. Would you like to turn over to James, the second chapter? James chapter 2, we'll read just a few verses beginning with 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Can you picture something like this? Here's somebody. Maybe they come knocking on your door. And boy, they don't have anything. Naked and destitute. You'd look up at them with just about the biggest smile that you can imagine. And you might start off by saying, God bless you. God bless you. Be warmed and filled. And then you don't give them a single thing. Can you feature somebody doing something like that? And James has a lesson for us. He says, even so, faith without works is dead. I want to tell you that one of the biggest lies that churches have ever preached, that preachers have ever preached, that creeds have ever written is faith alone will save you. Faith alone has never saved anybody. Faith alone cannot save anybody. And why in the world people ever tried to say that is almost beyond me. Let's suppose this morning now that you are right at that beginning point. You say, Gene, I've looked at the evidence that has been presented to me. I've considered the wonderful creation of God. I have considered this marvelous book, the Bible, that tells me of the will of God, and I have faith. What now? Well, you need to exercise your faith. Don't let it just sit there all the days of your life and on your dying bed be able to say, well, I believe. What have you got to do? Well, first thing you've got to do is you have to become a Christian. You've got to become a Christian. There's no way that your faith is going to be worth a thing in the world if you do not become a Christian. Jesus knew that. The Son of God knew that. Go into all the world. Now, Mark, the 16th chapter. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be damned. Acts chapter 2. Verse 37 and 38, men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is no preacher that's ever been given a commission to teach anything else. If you have faith, you must become a Christian. How do you do that? Confess your faith that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You say, well, I believe that, Gene. Repent of your sins. That might be religious sins. It might be moral sins. Repent of them. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Study and grow. Study and grow. I'm not using a lot of scriptures. 1 Peter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Grow, keep yourself pure, remain faithful unto death. One other point, and then I'm going to quit. What happens as you go along through life and your faith begins to slip? You say, Gene, I've done all of those things. I've confessed my faith in Christ. I've been baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. The Lord has added me to the church that we read of here in Scripture. But somewhere along the line, through the trials of life and the demands of life, my faith is not as strong as it used to be. My faith is not what I know it ought to be. What do I need to do? Well, I think one good exercise is to review why you believed in the beginning. Why did you start off believing? Well, you think about it and you say, well, it is because of all of that strong evidence. I know that the Big Bang Theory did not produce the heavens and the earth and flowers and trees and babies. I know God did that. And then we're right back again at Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You know what's wrong? You haven't been studying your Bible. You got other things that interfere. You get busy reading the Bible again as if though your life and your soul depended on it, because it does. And you make that a number one important. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you believe? You better not put it off.